Well, it is a wonderful privilege again for me to be with you. I bring you greetings from our church in Cheltenham. Please turn with me now in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And verse 20. Verse 20 of Galatians 2. The Apostle Paul, he says these wonderful words, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." This text is like a tree. It has many branches. We may go up the various branches and receive much blessing. There is fruit upon every clause of this text. The life of Christ is the heart, and the love of Christ is the root of this tree. There is something like a fence around this tree with death. Death of Christ is mentioned here. And the text begins and ends with it. I love this text. When I think about my life of holiness, sanctification, how can I be a more godly believer? I must come to this text. And for you too, my friends, you struggle with many sins. You are attacked and bombarded with many temptations each day. You ought to come to these passages. Texts like this. We want to live a Christian life that honors God. We want to serve the Lord in the right way with right motives. It is these words that we ought to come to. Remind ourselves, memorize, store within our hearts and daily come to and pray over. How is the believer insured and ensured of this life of Christ? How? He says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." And how is he insured of that? How is he assured of this love of Christ? Why, he says, he loved me and gave himself for me, that's why. If we could by faith come to this tree and go up the tree and go up this branch, this final two clauses, "who loved me and gave himself for me," it will do us much good in our life as believers. Let me just break this passage down. The first part, the first clause, the first branch of this text is, "I am crucified with Christ." Why, someone may say? The Gospels, the four Gospels, they tell us just of two criminals. There were only two criminals who were crucified with the Savior. And Paul, he wasn't any of them. He wasn't there. No, at this time, he was probably at the foot of Gamaliel being taught the law of God in Jerusalem. He wasn't there at the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And if he had been there, he would have been one of those who would have helped the crucifiers of the Lord. He would have blasphemed the name of the Lord Jesus. He would have shouted, he would be amongst those who would shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." Because sometime after this, we find him crucified. helping to stone the first martyr of the church, Stephen, he consented to his death, the scripture says. And he helped to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, persecuting them. How then could Paul be said to be crucified with Christ? What is he talking about? Well, let me tell you what he is talking about. First of all, that he's saying this, that Christ on the cross was not someone privately dying for himself, but he was a public person. He was a person representing all of his people who would believe in him. So that when he died, when he suffered, we died and suffered in him. As the first Adam did not sin just for himself privately, he did not sin only for himself, but for all his natural seed. All that would come after him, everything that you suffer, my friend, from the simple cold to severe cancer, is because of that fall. You and I are seed of that first man, Adam. He was not only sinning and dying spiritually in himself, but all his natural seed that came after him. He represented us. And yet, the second Adam, he did not die for himself at all, but for all of his seed as well, who would come to know him. So that's what Paul is talking about. That's one thing. But also there is a real, there is a spiritual and indissoluble union between Christ and all of his people who believe in him. We are, as it were, in this kind of union that we have been fixed to him by the strongest kind of, if I could put it like this, glue, cement. It will not be dissolved. There is nothing you can pour on it to dissolve that union. It's as if we have been crucified with him. So that's one, something we could say about that first clause. But then, look at it again. The second clause, nevertheless I live, he says. Nevertheless I live. He is saying this, I have not been destroyed, but I have been made new. I have been reformed. I have been changed. I have been given new life. I've received new birth. Nevertheless, I live, he says. Though I be crucified and dead, yet I live a new life in Jesus Christ. I am not what I was, nor who I was, nor where I was. I am not what I was. I am not Saul the persecutor, but I am Paul the believer, he says. I am Paul the professor. I am Paul the preacher. I am not whose I was. I used to be Satan's, but now I am Christ's. I am not where I was. I am living in another world. I am, my conversation is in heaven. My citizenship is in heaven. I breathe another air. So he says, I live. Nevertheless, I live. We have to move on because my text is actually later on. The third branch is, he says, yet not I. What a wonderful phrase. Yet not I. No, who then? It's not me. Who then? Is there a contradiction in the Bible? We might ask Paul. You are saying, Paul, I am crucified with Christ. I am dead. Then there is an end. When you die, that's it. You die. The death is the end of it all. hear him again. Nevertheless, I live. This is like a short death. He has come back to life. Or is he at the same time both dead and alive? Yes, Paul is dead. And Paul lives as well. Yet not I, he says. I live. It is not I was crucified and am dead, but I am crucified with Christ. I am dead, and yet I am alive. And yet not I, he says. Here is this paradox in this passage. Not of myself, but by the life of another. That's what he means. Yet not I. It's not me. It's the life of Christ in me. That's how I live. The fourth branch of the text. It says, Christ liveth in me. Christ, you see, he's the root. He's the fountain of all spiritual life. He's full of it in himself. And he passes that life to all those who would receive. All of his members receive his life. He liveth in me. Christ liveth in me, he says. And the fifth branch, he says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He says, I live and live in the flesh. By flesh, he means his mortal body. This physical body. But he is also saying it is never too late to begin to live. It is never too late. And it is never too soon to begin to live. But what sort of a life is it that he's talking about? He says, I live by faith of the Son of God. Here is life. He says, I live. He was very sure of it. He wasn't doubting at all. I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I live. Well, here is the meaning of this life. How does he live this life? He says, I live by faith. But faith of what kind? Is it a general faith? Is it a vague faith? No, he says. He says, I live by faith. By the faith of the Son of God. He is the object of my faith. He is the person that I rest upon. That I trust in. And we live by faith, don't we? As the children of God. Then it is that he says, who loved me? He explains, he describes this Son of God in whom he believes. He says, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's, now we come to our text. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ who loves me, he says. Let us just think for a little while on this, these words. I am quite a simple person, and I like simple headings. So what I have done is simply taking the words for here, and I think when you go back, every time you read this, I trust you will, it will remind you of it as well. It says, who or he loved me. Just first point is he. He's talking about this person who is loving. So we could say he's the lover. The first point is he. He loved the person who is loving. He's the Son of God. He says, who loved me, or he loved me. What a person that is. Who is he? Who is this Son of God? Who is he? So great as Jesus Christ. Who is this Son of God? He is higher than any other person. There is no one who goes above the Son of God. He is in the highest. He is equal in greatness and worth with his eternal Father. He has on his clothes and on his thighs, as Revelation tells us, written his title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who. The person who loves me. And you can, if you're a child of God, you can say that. This is the person who loves me. Lift your eyes heavenward. Think highly of Jesus Christ. This is the lover of my soul. And so if he loves me, his love must be greater than any other love, because he himself is the greatest of all. Who is this King of Glory? He is the omnipotent God. He loves me. Omnipotent God. He has promised. His powerful presence. He has promised that powerful presence to be with his people. With the believers. With true Christians. He says, lo, I am with you always. The all-knowing says, I am he that searcheth the hearts and trieth the reins. He is the omnipotent God. The one who created the heavens and the earth. And who is able to save and to damn to the uttermost. Jesus is he. He loves me. Do you see the power of this text? Then the next heading is this. Loved. It says, he loved, or who loved. It's the action. Here is the act. Why did he love? He loved because he loved, the scripture says. There is no other reason of his love. Simply his love. Jacob have I loved. This is all the reason. Love in God. God is love. Love in him is an infinite and boundless love. Eternal, unchangeable love. He loved, he says. He loved. And whom he loves to the end. My friends, you have peace. You are taught. You are guided. You are justified. You are pardoned. You are reconciled. You are accepted. You're led by the Lord. You're fed by him. Why? Why? Because he loves. That's why. And then the third thing is this. He says, me. He loved me. Me. That's quite a powerful word. Me. Personal pronoun, me. Think about it. Who are you? Who am I? Who was the apostle? And then think about what is he actually saying here. He loved me. Me, the wicked. Me, who am so wretched. Me, who am so unworthy. Do you put your me into this text? Me. me he loved. He loved me. Paul, who was he? A blasphemer. Me, a persecutor, he says. Me who was so harsh. Me who am so vile. A wretched man that I am, he says. He loved a person who was so unlovely and unlovable. So unworthy of his love. So unlike his love. God can find greater reasons in us to hate us and damn us and condemn us than find something that he can love. We wouldn't think of it much if God loved the holy angels, because they serve him. They obey him. They do what he asks. But to love us? Of us who are his enemies by nature. We are traitors every day. Every thought of unbelief is treason against the holy God. Rebels. We are runaways. We do not want to come under his word and the obedience of his word. We are runaway prodigals. Sinners. Sinners. And it is this. To such sinners, Paul, he says, he loved me. This Son of God, he loved me. Me. Guilty me. Filthy me. Weak me. Wicked me. How does he show this love? God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how he shows. That's how he commends his love. While we were yet sinners, what does that mean? While we were yet enemies. While we were yet outcasts. Lying in our blood. What kind of a commendation is that? It's not a commendation for someone to love us. While we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Would you expect someone's love? Have you seen a love like this? This is merciful love. What the apostle is writing of is, this is merciful love. Instead of showing wrath, he shows mercy. He that needed nothing loved us that had nothing. That's this kind of love. We had not only nothing, but worse than nothing. We have baggages of sin. All of us have baggages, and in them all are poisons of sin we carry about. For such sinners Jesus came, and for such he poured out his heart's blood, and he loved. This is the wonder of this love, that the King of Heaven should love the wretched earth, that eternity should love death, and that immortality should love dust and ashes. That's what we are. Infinite holiness should love we sinners who are so confused, who are so messed up, who are so fallen in our wretchedness. And the scripture says he first loved us. He first loved us. But someone would say, well, there is this difficulty. I can't put this me in this text. I have this problem. It's all fine what you say, but I can't put this me in this text. He loved me. And I must tell you, this is not the language of earth. This is the language of heaven that the apostle is talking about. In Revelation, in the language of heaven, Revelation 1 and verse 5, it says this: He loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. And so here as well is this language of heaven on earth. And the apostle says, He loved me and gave Himself for me. But why is it that some people here may say that I can't put myself in this text? Why can't I say this? This is the language of faith. Is faith speaking here? It is not the language of feeling. It's not the language of unbelief. It's the language of faith. The life that I now live, the apostle says here, is by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The faith by which He lived was the faith by which He spoke this language. He loved me. But how can our faith say such things about ourselves? The ground of this language is God's grace. The reason a sinner can say such things is because of grace. God's grace. It's on God's grace that you and I must depend by faith. The scripture says He came to save sinners. He loved sinners. He loved enemies. He loved rebels. And He gave Himself for them. But unbelief will say no. No. But did He love them all? Did He love them all? Did He die for them all? Did He elect them all? Perhaps you were never part of God's plan. Perhaps He never loved you. This is unbelief talking. But faith says, He says, no, I am not going to believe on my own wicked heart. I will not believe the devil. Because without salvation, I will die in my sins. I don't have time to lose, faith says. Let those who don't need a Savior talk about these things. I need a Savior. I need a Savior. I don't have time to debate these matters. I must have Him, such Savior. I need Him now. I need Him for the future. And I see that if a sinner comes to Him, He will save them. That's what He has promised. If they call upon His name, He will hear them. That's what He has said. He loved sinners and enemies. And that's my name, a sinner. He loved rebels. He received gifts for the rebellions. That is my name. So it's free. The Master calls me, faith says. He invites me by my name, a sinner. And so in spite of unbelief, in spite of the devil, in spite of my sin, and in spite of my shame and guilt, I will humbly say, because the Bible tells me He loved me, even guilty me, filthy me, I believe in Him. This is the language of faith. He loved me. When? When did He love me? When I was in the best condition? No, when I was in the worst circumstances, when I was in the worst conditions. When I was born in sin, when my mother conceived me in sin, all foul and full of corruption, there is nothing in us to draw His love, to make Him to love us. Our sins, do you know what it does? It provokes God to wrath, provokes His holiness to punish us. What moved Him to love us? Even if we had been good, if we had been upright, He didn't need us. He was already satisfied, glorified in Himself. But we are bad, we are vile, we are wretched. Where does this love come from? Our wages is death. His gift is life. So the apostle says, He loved me and gave Himself for me. I was in miserable. I was in a condition that was miserable, in bondage to sin and Satan. But He came and ransomed me by His blood. I was captive to the power of hell. I would have been punished. But He has satisfied His own justice for me. So He says He loved me. This is grace. I said to you at the beginning, how can we live a holy life? How can we be Christ-like? How can we conquer those sins that easily beset us? How can you be a godly man or godly woman? How can I be more sanctified? This text, upon this basis, He loved me. How? He proves it. He gave Himself for me. That's how. He shows it by the marks in His hands and His feet, by His side. All of grace. Did He love us? Did He give Himself for us? The scripture says yes, He did. Then do we love Him? Do we love Him with our minds, with our hands, with our tongues? Do we love Him with our feelings? If He gave Himself for us, do we give ourselves for Him who loved us in such a way? Do you? Do I? Give in this way? He gave everything. He didn't give part of Himself. He gave all for us. Do you give all for Him? Has Jesus Christ conquered you? Everything, all the land in your life, has He conquered? Then do you see how this drives us to service? How it drives us not in legalistic service, but in loving obedience to this Savior who died for us? Puritans would say that we ought to be willing martyrs. What does that mean? When He calls us to even seal our profession by our blood, then we are willing. We have been willing beforehand. How will we give our blood? How will this nation, how will our churches give their blood when we are so fearful to give a word for Jesus Christ? We are so fearful of laws and legislations, and so we do not give the word of life to sinners. How would you say that you are truly a servant of Jesus Christ, that and yet you are not engaged in calling upon sinners? Boys and girls, adults, those in your homes, those in amongst your neighbors and colleagues. How would you say, I will give my blood, I give all to Him, and yet not a word? This truth ought to move you, my friends. This truth ought to move you in service to Jesus Christ. This text will move you as you daily ponder over it. Moves you to obedience in putting away sin in life of holiness, in a life that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is it? Who loved me and gave himself for me? Amen. May the Lord bless his word.